Hello? Am I on this thing? Oh, shut the Christ up, Ching Chong. Sorry. Hello? How do I make it shut the Christ up? Hello? Can you hear me then? Oh, God. I had a little makeup accident today. And you can get fucked about it. Let's see that. How we doing? I don't think I look so great. I look like a cancer patient. Oh, wow. Let's see. Does my audience see me? Do you see and hear me, people? And hear me? Yes, thank you. I think I look real pretty this way. The profile combined with the hairdo. I think it's great, but see, I had a real bad accident with the makeup. I spilled the cover, and I got a cleft palate issue again. Is there a dead bug in here? I can't drink that one. A cleft palate issue, so I got it took soft. But look, I dropped the makeup, the CoverGirl, which doesn't sponsor me anyway, even though they sponsor plain Jane, no makeup, cunt faces. I dropped the whole bottle in the goddamn sink, and I picked it up with my hands, and I just... that was it, you know? Can you see? Oh, damn it. I got the zebra stripes. I can't see. Hello? Okay. Let's see. Look at this obesity. Oh, yeah. Don't say the T word. I got kicked off my own chat room because I typed twat yesterday. It would block my IP. No, don't type it. If you type it, nobody will be able to watch this Christing thing, which is actually fine. What's this about Vera? She's boycotting the show, Chris? I don't think so. I'm sure she's just working. Why, you think she's mad? Why? Did you say something to piss her off? Huh? I gotta get my cunt up. I always do this. She's not mad. She's just dirty. Her Doris Day story. Oh, please. She's fine.
Please have intercourse more frequently so you can learn to relax. One testicle hangs lower than the other, and that's no.
He is not able to produce sperm cells.
Please
and
remove
that way
it
will not be
with
able
a piece
to
of
cotton
and some surgical lubricating gel.
No,
he didn't marry a penis either. Please remove it with a piece of cotton and some surgical lubricating gel.
It's much more rigid than the head of the penis, and that's but it's normal. It's normal. She is not sick.
Then is that why she dies at the end of consumption?
She is not sick. She is perfectly normal.
Please don't do that to each other.
Oh, Frenity, your own mother. Whatever. I have to leave you for a second so I get my cunt up. Be right back. Dead bags.
Thank you.
Ow! I stubbed my toes. God damn it. All right. Well, it's that time of year again. Cheryl Prolapse did a new show over at whorehole.org. I haven't listened to it yet. I'm really scared, though. I better hurry and listen to it, because otherwise I might get behind on her pilgrims, you know? I mean, she's just a dynamo. She's really a dynamo with the pilgrims, you know? Let's see. How many people got kicked off because of Twit? It's all of you. What are you talking about? Oh, no. Euthanasia requests are dead. I don't understand. Oh! Don't do that to me. Please. See, now I have this thing set up so I'm going to do something for you. You're not going to be very pleased with me. You shouldn't have sent me that. You shouldn't have sent me what you just sent me. Christ on a sticks. Let's see, vaginas. Hold on. I see. Ooh, is that ugly? How now? God darn it on a whore. Let's see. It looks a little bit like Cheryl. Oh, I'm sickened. I am so sickened. Why isn't it playing? Imagine you're taking off tomorrow, you Jew. For what? Is it a holiday? Is it a holiday? Oh, I'm listening to it myself. Is it a holiday? I don't fucking know. How the Christ should I know if it's a holiday? I'm not... I'm a lesbian. We don't get to be real Jews. It's all bullshit. What's the point of a religion? It's all about reproducing. So if you don't reproduce, what's the point? Then you just murder people. It's either producing or unproducing. So I don't do neither. I don't kill and I don't create. I just make these things. Let's see here. What am I doing? Huh? Oh, yeah, what am I doing? I wanted to get to, I got so many goddamn windows on this Christing fuck. Mm-hmm. Where's my stream? Am I even broadcasting? I see myself, but I don't see where the Ustreams is. Ah. I see where it is. Hold on. Oh, God. Hold on a sec, cunt. Hello?
Hello.
Okay, look. Listen, wait. I'm doing something different. Do you see where it says hold on?
Hold on.
Okay, now watch. This is going to be real good.
Here it comes. God. Oh, Christ. God, it's the cancer that makes you look like a...
Why did you post that...
terrible cartoon.
Why did you do that? Post that, Cheryl Jr.? That's horrible.
Oh, that poor woman. She finally killed herself. She had it. She couldn't take it anymore. Oh, my God.
Who, E.T.?
God, Jesus Christ.
That's Cheryl Jr. This is horrible.
Do you know this? Did you read the story? You know what that story is? Behind it?
Yeah, I love to read about cancer-faced people. John McCain isn't enough.
She sued
Lord, to get, whore.
She sued to get the right to have her doctor help her kill herself in France, and she lost the suit.
I would have killed her. She's Christing ugly.
A day or two after she lost the suit, they found her dead in her home.
No kidding. That's a shame, though. Seriously, it's a shame.
It was some sort of nasal cancer.
It looked like more than that, a little.
God.
A little
bit more. Prolapse of the face.
A prolapse of the face, it could be. Hello, there I am. Oh, it's Purim. Like I give a fuck. Just give me some Haman Tashin and I'll eat him. So what happened to Auntie Vera? You think you pissed her off? Orf?
I don't know.
I don't think she had a very good day yesterday because I really was challenging her on the voting thing, and what I want to do is I want to interview her conscience. You know, she was as a conscience on her own program. I want to interview her conscience on my show.
Okay.
Because I think therein lies the problem, is in the conscience. So I'm going to have to arrange that. So, Chris, I don't know if... I put up the new Eclectic News Briefed.
Oh, I didn't look at it yet.
You know, maybe I'll play it now that I got this work in here, you know, with this cool thing.
Hey, Brian in Royal Oak, do you have a phone? Why don't you just call Matt, call in? Call Madge's cell phone and talk about it.
No, don't call the cell phone. Call Skype. I only have 600 minutes a month now because I'm moving into a life of poverty. I even had to reduce the bandwidth on my internet connection yesterday.
Brian can't Skype at work.
So soon it will slowly deteriorate into nothing. Actually, I could call you if you give me your number. But you can't call me. I could call you a cell phone. But if you're working...
Brian, send Matt your cell phone number.
Okay. Now listen, how are you going to send it if he can't Skype? Email?
Oh, you mean you can't call his phone with Skype? That doesn't.
No, I can call him, but how are you going to get me the number? How are we going to be doing that?
Can you call his cell phone?
Oh, you know what? You can send me an instant message. I can, yes. But you send me, Brian, an instant message on this here chat room, and then I can play with my vagina.
I think he just sent it.
No, he didn't. Wait, maybe he did. I got all these streams all over the damn plots. Oh, yeah, there. He did send it. So now I'm going to try and... Oh, I got Big Blubbercunt calling in, too. Hang on just a sec. Hold on, BBC. It's BBC News. Hold on. Let me get BBC together here. Okay, got BBC, Big Blubbercunt News Service. That's Andy Melton and Chris Weigel. Let's see if I can bring in the third turd. Brian, Andy, were you planning on saying anything?
Yes.
Okay, what?
Not really.
Go ahead and
I'm eating a sandwich.
You're eating. Wow, this is really an unusual event. You been exercising this week?
Yes.
Promise? For real? You're
yes.
Not lying to me?
I've been going down to the pond getting 5-gallon buckets of water to flush the toilet with.
I thought you were going to say getting fucked. How far is the pond?
It's down a large hill.
How much do you let it build up in the toilet before you get the bucket of water?
Okay.
I flush it immediately.
Okay,
now let me see. I'm going to try and call Brian, so I have to put you on hold.
All right.
I don't know how well this is going to work. First I have to add him as a contact, or else it won't let me add him to the chat. So let's see. Enter the vagina of the clitoris. Okay, and your mother with stink hair and bees. Feel free to talk while I'm babbling.
Andy, did you write down any of that stuff I was saying yesterday while we were practicing the preaching?
No.
That's good stuff.
So you could use it on Sunday show?
Yeah, but it's on the show. I recorded it on the show.
I'm writing my sermon for Sunday morning.
I put it on the yeast, Chris.
Oh, good.
Uh-huh.
You got to learn to hack, though.
What do you mean hack? I thought I was hacking. It's like, when you said that.
What do you mean hack?
And Jesus hates the girls, and Jesus hates you, and Jesus doesn't want you to eat, and Jesus wants you to die. Something like that.
That's pretty good.
Add to conference. Okay, it's not going. Andy, I'm gonna have to call you back.
Okay. All right.
Because it won't let me put more than one in. I might.
All right, I'll hang up.
What? No, you're not.
No, I'm going to go do a cooking video, so I'm going to go anyways. So.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Hang on, Chris.
You want me to hang up?
Oh. No, because you're not hanging up, because you're the one that told me to call Brian.
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached.
What the fuck?
He's got T-Mobile cervix.
Is that pod safe?
Man, no. And I have to erase the show.
Hello, Brian.
Hey.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm Maggie. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What work do you do that you can take all this time off to talk to this lesbian with hair problems?
I work at a publishing firm.
Which one?
Vimex.
I can't believe you said that. Why do you want to tell us who?
They don't care. Guys,
you want to get fired? Obviously.
Yeah, right? Yeah, maybe. It'd be a good thing.
I get some pity. So what's new with you?
Not a whole lot.
I want to
compliment you on your new format. I like it.
Why?
Wait a bit. I think you interact really well with the audience. I think it seems to have revitalized you a little bit. You seemed a little tired there for a while. Bored with us.
And the difference is now it doesn't show.
Well, now we can see your facial expressions while you're bored with us.
That's right.
I liked the show yesterday. I enjoyed the heated debates a little more so than the general rambling.
I don't think Andy Vera liked it because you're not here today.
She'll live.
Yeah, she'll live, exactly. Now, I want to read now, because I did an eclectic news brief yesterday, and I effectively threw the script away. And did something completely different because I was listening to these you know, Amy Goodman did this 3-day special or 2-day special of stories from soldiers from Iraq at this thing called Winter Soldier.
Wasn't that interesting that didn't get any other coverage outside of her and Pacific Radio?
It's ridiculous. You know, yeah. I want to play this, Shogram. I need to play this because I took 2 clips that I really liked, and it won't take long for me to play this, and I think I got it going on a little bit now. So let me just try and figure this out while you ask Brian questions about his life. Go ahead and do that now.
That's going to be thrilling.
I'm sure. I can tell already. Go ahead, Chris. Chris!
I'm trying to get Bicycle Mark to come on. Can you do two things at once? I thought he was talking about China and the Olympics, which is what Brian wanted.
Yeah, but wait. One at a time. One at a time. We'll talk about that.
Talking about Iran. I watched about 2.5 hours of
No, you're
Winter
talking
Soldier.
To Brian from Royal Oak and asking him questions.
Okay, Brian. Brian, are you hiding in a supply closet right now? How are you doing this phone call?
Good question.
I was at work. I'm actually walking out right now and getting in the car to go to the bank and cash my little pittance of a paycheck.
You're in Southfield right now?
Correct.
Southfield. Tushy.
What does your company publish?
Okay, we publish a lot of internal promotional magazines for pharmaceutical chains and grocery chains.
Everything's pharmaceutical.
Well, I'm sorry?
Everything's pharmaceutical. I did editing work a couple weeks ago at a firm in Ferndale, and their whole company is built on pharmaceutical propaganda.
Okay, can you all shut up for a second? I want to play this video, okay? If you can't hear it or see it, then please Skype immediately. Okay.
I can see it. I can't hear it. Oh, wait. Sorry.
Hello, this is the Eclectic News.
Yeah, I can hear it. It's fine.
Thursday, March 20th, 2008. This is episode number 46. Now, I wrote this episode, and I scripted it, and I have it ready for the teleprompter. Well, I haven't finished editing it. But, you know, the problem is, as I was listening to it, and on the way home from the coffee shop where I was working on my bike, I was listening to Democracy Now! From today, the 19th, when I'm recording this, and yesterday, the 18th, and Amy Goodman has some soldiers from an event called Winter Soldier, which I believe was in D.C., and it's an event to commemorate the war in Iraq, its 5-year anniversary. And I found these stories so incredibly moving that I don't know, something about just reading from a teleprompter I felt like it wouldn't do it justice.
On Christmas Eve, his sister came home early to see how he was doing. He had been drinking. He standing by the refrigerator, and he grabbed his dog tags, and he tossed them to her, and he called himself a murderer. We were to find out that these dog tags included 2 Iraqi soldiers that he feels, or he knows, he's personally responsible for their deaths.
At about 11:30, 11:45, Jeffrey asked me for the second time within the past 10 days if he could just sit in my lap and I could rock him for a while. And we did. We sat there for about 45 minutes and I was rocking Jeff and we were in total silence. As his private therapist that we had hired said, it was his last harbor and his last place of refuge. The next day I came home, it was about 7:15. I held Jeff one last time as I lowered his body from the rafters and took the hose from around his neck.
What became clear in watching the Winter Soldier and listening to the Winter Soldier stories is that this is really not about Iraq, it's about war. And it's about how war is just this horrible thing that can never happen, and every time it happens, it is just pure horror and pure evil, and it just can't happen. And I also find it upsetting because, you know, I was sitting there in the Argo tea, and people are just talking about bullshit, you know? And I don't expect everybody to be where I'm at. But I'm hearing people talk about just bullshit. Just crap. I don't know what it was. Just bullshit. And I'm listening to these stories of people that are raping and pillaging and destroying and killing for fun, and they're confessing it, and these horrible murders that we're doing in our name as Americans, and we're letting this happen. We're paying for it. We're doing it. We're paying for it. We're completely responsible for this. And then we're just in this coffee shop talking about junk, leaving these decisions up to somebody else. I mean, I just don't know what else to say about it.
These events happen in our name, and each and every single one of you are responsible for this as well. I am very sorry for my actions, and I can't take back what I did. I ask the forgiveness of the people of Iraq and of my country, and I will not enable this any further. General Petraeus, you may not remember me, but you once led me. You're no longer a leader of men. You've exploited your troops for your own gain and have become just another cheerleader for this occupation policy that is destroying America. General Petraeus, you pinned this on me in Babylon in 2003 following the October 16th incident. I will no longer be a puppet for your personal gain and for your political career. I held Jeff one last time as I lowered his body from the rafters and took the hose from around his neck.
So, am I back? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So there's 2 days of stories like that. I put my hair on.
You're cured.
Camp. I'm cured, right. But there were 2 days of, at least 2 days, I don't know if she did it for 3 days, at least 2 days of Democracy Now! That she filled it up with that. And it's just amazing. And yeah, like Chris was saying, it's mind-boggling that these stories getting out there, because this is the core of what's going on in the world right now. I mean, there's nothing more important than this. Nothing. I mean, this is our humanity at stake. But anyway, the reason I wanted to, or at least part of the reason why I wanted to play that, was because I actually wanted to bring, there was about five more minutes of that news brief that I didn't play because it was just the regular news brief stuff. But I wanted to go through those topics because I just didn't really want to make it 10 minutes long after all that. But there's, you really should watch the show from yesterday and the day before where they go through every single speech. It's just fucking unbelievable. And it's just like when I went to Crawford where at this Camp Casey where Cindy Sheehan was camped out, and I was the only person to videotape. There was a huge truck of CNN and, you know, all the major networks used the same uplink truck, and it was there in Crawford around the corner from where we were, just like less than a mile away. And there was this uplink truck of all the major networks, and yet not one camera was at Camp Crawford, where at the time Reverend Lowry was speaking and some other major civil rights leaders and all kinds of people. And some of these same people were speaking there, and not a single camera was there. I was the only camera because Democracy Now!, somebody left their, they left their camera in a hotel room somehow. So they actually used my footage from that. But this is the same thing. Like, this is completely ignored. Totally a travesty. And that word isn't good enough. Now, what's amazing. Now, look at what Bush said on the same day, which is ridiculous. Hang on, let me find it.
Yeah, he gave the reiteration of the bullshit he's been saying since the beginning of this nonsense.
Right. This is what I wrote is, Bush still thinks the war was a great idea. He said the world is better than the United States is safer, but offered no facts to substantiate this vague and ridiculous claim. Now, remember, the September 11th commission found no collaborative relationship between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein, who ruled Iraq during the start of the war, was later captured and hung. Now, Bush blatantly lied and used twisted language to imply that al-Qaeda was in Iraq. Now, this is what I find most completely ridiculous. Bush said, quote, Iraq was supposed to be this place where al-Qaeda rallied Arab masses to drive America out. Instead, Iraq has become the place where Arabs joined with Americans to drive al-Qaeda out. In Iraq, we are witnessing the first large-scale Arab uprising against Osama bin Laden, his grim ideology. Blatant lies and blatant abuse of the English language, and obvious, the perfect case or explanation why the neocons chose this bumblefuck, because when you have an idiot who can't speak English, then he's able to get away with these ridiculous phrases that don't even make sense. Iraq was, he said again, Iraq was supposed to be Iraq was supposed to be the place where al-Qaeda rallied Arab masses to drive America out. Yeah, but it wasn't. You know what? I was supposed to be a fucking movie star, but that doesn't mean you can use me in a fucking sentence. I mean, this is ludicrous.
My bed is supposed to be where I'm having sex. That doesn't mean I'm having sex there.
What hurts?
The word supposed to is ridiculous. It's, you can say supposed to anything.
Yeah, and he probably just really said poster.
Yeah. He's an ass.
It's disgusting. And but see, what's more of an ass is that the fact that this wasn't challenged. It's just repeated in the story, just like when China kills Tibetans, that story gets repeated. And by the way, I have YouTube favorites. And those Tibetan protesters, there were Tibetan protesters protesting at the UN in this country, and they were beat by New York police. And there's video of it. I mean,
and Bush just yesterday said that there's no problem in China and the Olympics should proceed as planned.
Well, Prime Minister Brown is going to meet with the Dalai Lama, so evidently not everybody agrees with the douchebag in chief.
Well, he's too busy practicing his tap dancing and singing.
Now, Bush, I'm going to continue reading what I wrote. Bush spoke of Saddam's removal as worthy an end in itself, ridding Iraq of death squads, torture chambers, and rape rooms. All these things are things, however, that we have done. The government, the CIA, and the military have all done these things as well, which is why it's extremely important to watch these Democracy Now! Shows, because they prove that. Every one of these soldiers confesses to exactly these things, to beating people, to abusing people beyond belief, rape, torture, murder. They're confessing to it, and that's why they're so angry, and that's why these people are killing themselves. They're just completely destroyed from doing this. I mean, of course they're going to kill themselves. What else would you do? You fucking killed babies. This is what these people do, and if you watch the rest of the interviews, you'll see that. Nobel Prize-winning economist Stiglitz have estimated the eventual cost of war to be as much as $3 trillion. Now, this is from AP. It's also not journalism. It's also not news, because Stiglitz himself was on Democracy Now! And other shows, and he didn't say that it could be as much as $3 trillion. He said $3 trillion was the most conservative estimate he could think of, meaning $3 trillion was the absolute minimum cost estimate. Now, what this news article is saying is the exact opposite. They're saying that Stiglitz said that $3 trillion is the maximum. Could be as much as $3 million. Bad journalism, yellow journalism. So in Wired Magazine...
I believe what he said is if we had the numbers from right now added in, which they're not, it takes a while to get it added in, we would be at $3
trillion. Right. But he also said that it could be much higher than that, but he wanted to get the most conservative estimate as possible.
Right.
Now, Bush replied in response to this, quote, war critics can no longer credibly argue that we are losing in Iraq, he said. Now they argue the war costs too much. Now, this is completely ridiculous, because completely exemplative of his misunderstanding and his lack of compassion and humanity and the fact that he's a complete sociopath, because he thinks costs are only money. And first of all, people, you know, against the war have been complaining about all the costs since the beginning. But costs aren't just money. They're also human lives. And that is what I find most disgusting, is that he doesn't even consider that to be a cost. You know, and aside from the fact that the statement is completely ridiculous.
Honestly, doesn't. He's such an inhuman, disconnected monster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I don't know where the shreds of humanity within that man lies at this point. Or Cheney. I'm not saying this as this is kind of a joke, but I'm also kind of serious. I think that the entire Bush family should be sterilized at this point. The children, because you know that the kids are going to run and the kids are going to take over power again at some point. The crimes of this family are so monumental against not only this country but the rest of the world. This is just something. This is on a scale. I don't know. It's so infuriating at this point. And I want to get back to the point about the mainstream media completely ignoring this.
Yeah.
I have a background in video production, video creation, and so the natural field for me to go into would be some sort of media in this country.
Lesbian talk.
Yeah,
shows.
Would be lesbian studies, and it would be. But it's very. I'm so reluctant to get involved in any, almost any media related entity in this country because so many of them I consider are totally complicit in this whole operation, in this whole scheme. If I saw somebody from CNN or any of the broadcast networks doing a broadcast in the street, I would have to do everything I could to keep myself from going over there and screaming at them or punching the camera. People like Wolf Blitzer, people like Anderson Cooper, the entirety of Fox News Network, the mainstream media people knowingly lied. They were complicit in the lies that brought this country into this war.
Anderson Cooper is having
people.
A skin tumor removed as we speak. He has skin cancer.
Anderson Cooper, what his fortune comes from? What I believe the Vanderbilt fortune. So,
correct.
I mean, I'm just saying, he's another example. There's thousands of them. The New York Times knew full well that Judith Miller was getting that bullshit from the administration and publishing it. So I don't know where that leaves us at this point.
It leaves us fucked. No, I want to read
one.
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I just want to read the last sentence I wrote in this. On this subject, war critics have criticized the cost of war in both lives and dollars since day one of this schizophrenic war between the collective American denial system and the rest of the world. And so that's what I answer in answer to Zilovag's question is it's the people to the U.S. That's what I was saying here is that, yes, the war is really between the collective American unconscious and lack of conscience in the rest of the world.
Yeah.
We're fighting. Our denial system is what's at war. Is what's at stake here.
Right, and it's really upsetting that soldier in one of those clips you played was talking about that we are all complicit. We're each and every one of us. I paid my taxes. I just did. Yeah. I just paid for this. I haven't, I haven't done enough to stop this. I don't know what conceivably I could do without getting shot. And it's insane. I don't want to be a part of this. I don't know. I don't have the wherewithal at the moment to move to another country. I don't know if I want to make that big step, but at what point do you draw the line? And this is such an, I don't know. It's very hard to talk about without becoming completely unhinged.
This year I can't pay my taxes because I have to give it to a lawyer instead. But but point taken. I will pay them eventually because I don't want to go to jails.
I don't know. It's. Go ahead.
And the problem is you disconnect, like Auntie Vera. I thought about that whole conversation after it happened yesterday, and to some degree I felt a little bad that I was so harsh against her not voting. But in a way, how can you vote? How can you blame her for not voting when you are at the point where you're ready to disconnect, just like she does? What's the point? Yeah. What does it matter? And that's what happens. Half, more than half of this country at this point doesn't even care. Just does not care one iota. Mm-hmm. Who got kicked off American Idol last night? That's the big, it's more exciting to talk about that than it is to talk about our future, because we've had 8 years of our future not even remotely being in our hands.
Okay, now, the thickest, oldest, and toughest sea ice around the North Pole is melting. This is a bad sign for the future of the Arctic ice cap. NASA data showed on Tuesday thickness is an indicator of long-term health of sea ice, and it's not looking too good at the moment. Melting ice, Arctic ice, does not raise sea levels as melting of glaciers in Greenland or Antarctica does, but it does contribute to global warming because the reflective white ice is replaced by dark water that absorbs the heat. So we have our greenhouse effect. So that's fun. And the last story I wanted to read about, which was really the first, I'll just read it verbatim, and it's not proofread. The criminal yet guiltless federal government gave $30 billion to J.P. Morgan in order to guarantee Bear Stearns' riskiest investments. This instead of helping middle and working class people avoid foreclosure on their American dreams. So if the government will bail out these multi-billion dollar risky investments, why are those investments called risky? It sure sounds like investing in a house for yourself and your family is much riskier investment, since the government won't help you out of foreclosure when the market collapses due to those same multi-billion dollar deals that they are bailing out instead of you. Stunningly, when asked why the government was bailing out these huge corrupt businesses instead of helping the normal American homeowner, White House press skank Dana Perino replied that the $600 rebate stimulus package should help all of that. So how exactly does $600 save anyone from foreclosure unless you have a mortgage of $50 a month, which is what that averages out to per month?
It's
audacity and chutzpah beyond anything I've ever heard in my fucking life.
All of these things we've talked about day after day over the last 8 years, the Bush administration and their cronies could not be more blatant in their criminality, and yet nothing is – we can get as mad as we want, and nothing seems to affect it. Remember when he fucking pardoned Scooter Libby? The balls of that son of a bitch. Yeah. And there's not even a pretense of shame in their actions.
Yeah, and now this guy, the death row guy, is back on death row. What's his face? The one we made a big deal about. You know, these guys get killed, and then the real criminals that kill – whatever, we know this.
And in regards to the $300 that we're all getting back,
no,
I just read that they spent $750,000 sending out the postcards to alert us that we're getting that money back.
Oh, did you? I got that. Did you get that?
I got that. I didn't even say anything.
I got a little postcard.
It's Anthony Anthony something, Mark. I can't remember his name. It's at the tip of my tongue. Anthony.
Mine was a printed folded letter with President George W. Bush's name in very big letters telling me that he and the Congress had authorized this stimulus refund for me.
Right.
I'm not kidding. Yeah,
right.
It was a big deal.
No, we all got it. What I also got in the mail was I also got a Social Security statement. And it tells me about all the money I'll be entitled to when I retire. And then at the bottom it says, in 2040, there won't be any money anyway, so you won't get it. But here's what you're entitled to.
Imagine 2040, won't you be like 190?
Yes, it's fucked up too. That's the that's the other thing, is they expect me to retire when I'm 180.
Which they
good
now
point.
The conservatives and a lot of the Democrats went along with it. They spent all that money was there. That system would work. They helped destroy it. And then their solution is, well, we need to privatize it and give the money to Wall Street, give their buddies who they just had to bail out. Like, and how many people go along with that? How many times have I heard people who make no money, who are just, you know, working slaves like the rest of us, say, well, we should run it like a business, or we should hand it over. And they're just completely, the propaganda just seeps into their minds.
Run what like a business?
Oh, any public service, whether it be schools, whether it be Social Security, anything. They just mindlessly parrot these slogans that they hear from right-wing media talking points. So, I don't know, you have this Winter Soldier conference being played on Democracy Now! And on the internet. I don't know how you get beyond the
Is it getting much play in the internet, like in sort of the viral videos? I haven't even noticed. I mean, I know it was on Democracy
I don't know.
Now, but is it getting – does anyone know if it's getting like YouTube play? Is it getting passed around? Is it on the top YouTube, you know, things next to Chris Crocker and his stupid, dumb bullshit?
Does anybody in the chat know? I don't know. I would doubt it. I wouldn't think that YouTube would allow it to get up that high. I don't know. I don't know anything. I can't make an accusation, but I have a feeling they wouldn't allow something like that to get high. I don't know. You know, I think they kind of – my feeling is they kind of keep things like YouTube and other large video sites like more distraction, apolitical stuff.
Now, I wish
– I don't know.
I wish Max Kaiser was here to explain this, because there's something I don't understand, and I'm not just being, you know, facetious. But, okay, so they lowered the interest rate like to yet another like 0.75 point, and there's talk of it even going negative, which I don't understand at all. But, okay, so if the interest rates are down to like less than 2%, how come credit card interest rates that Americans pay are up to 30%? I mean, how does that work? I seriously don't understand it. I mean, so if you reduce interest rates, that only means businesses don't have to pay as much? Or I don't even get it. But if you're a consumer, everything just completely screws consumers.
Yes. Well, the
it's just total feudalism and total serfdom. And it's gotten so geometrically and exponentially worse since Reagan. It's just, it's obscene.
Right. Well, the whole thing of the Reagan Revolution and the conservative movement has been to undercut and pull back and destroy everything FDR and the New Deal put in place to help protect people. And largely they've won.
Right.
And I don't know if, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I think a lot of the problem was total inaction, total disarray on the part of the left, who many of the people on the left got so splintered and divided during the 60s with endless branch groups about identity politics and so on and so forth, where they wasted a lot of their energies. To me, it seems like they wasted a tremendous amount of energy on things that while the foundation for their lives were being cut out from underneath of them. And it's just frustrating.
I understand what Bison Mark, that the interest rate is the federal rate, and I understand, dude, that banks don't pay that much. But I know that it also, you know, it flows. So when interest rates get lower, that means the money you get for saving gets lower. So when you say, so it encourages spending because it makes, so if the interest rate's lowered by 0.75%, then theoretically the money you're going to earn in interest is going to reduce by 0.75%, and it's going to go down the road. So I don't understand how that makes 30% interest rates on credit cards happen. I mean, that just
makes no sense
to me.
Well, because why would they give up that 0.75% profit? I've got 0.75% more, you know, profit for them. They're not going to give that up.
Well, we don't, and we don't have laws. We don't have loan sharking laws. I mean, I thought we used to have laws like that. When did
of course we do, but Bush will just let them off. I mean, sure, go ahead and put them on trial and put them in jail and let our president let them off.
So we do have laws like that? Are you sure?
I'm sure we have laws about that. We have laws about everything if you really want to stretch them.
Yeah.
I don't know what the relationship between that federal interest rate is and the interest rate offered privately by credit card. I don't know. There's obviously a disconnect. It's not the same rate. So
high interest rates are a reflection of bad debt. Are also a reflection of bad debt. But the thing is, I don't have any bad debt yet. When I get these credit card offers that say 0% for a year, then it goes up to 29%. It has nothing to do with my credit rating, which is good. It has everything to do with crazy fucking crooks. Illegal bullshit. And then, it's okay for Bear Stearns to make what they call a risky loan because the government bails them out with our money. So how is it risky? It's not risky. It's free.
Right. It's set up that way. It's completely rigged, and they have no shame in performing this publicly. They have no shame in doing it, no shame in talking. Just like Cheney when he got interviewed the other day, and he said, well, what do you think about the fact that most Americans disapprove of the war? He said, so what? He doesn't. He obviously just doesn't give a shit.
He said so, and that was it.
Oh, he said so. He didn't even bother with the what. Okay, he said so.
Yeah, there was a pause. It was just so.
And then, and then you have this.
Backed it up with another question, and he basically said, basically what he said was, we can't keep changing our policy based on public opinion.
Right. But they had the will.
If we hadn't done that back in Vietnam, wouldn't we still be in Vietnam?
But in 2004, the people spoke. Remember that? Remember how much they played up that?
What do the people matter? It's only a democracy.
Right. Endless problem. I mean, are we going to – they tried to do a citizen's arrest on Karl Rove in Iowa a week or two ago when he spoke at one of the colleges there. That's true. They tried to do that. When these people get out of office, is Bush going to run down to, I think, Paraguay where he bought land? What's going to happen? I mean, these people should be arrested. Like, it should be like Kissinger. They shouldn't be able to travel to certain countries. Or
his Crawford ranch, you know, it's not just Paraguay, but his Crawford, Texas ranch is completely sustainable. Now, I know that the Paraguay thing implies being able to be away from the legal consequences, but he can live, you know, he can close up the Crawford Ranch and live there for the rest of his ugly-ass life with his fucking cunt mother, and they can fuck each other with their Oedipus bullshit.
Auntie Vera asks, don't you feel like you're hitting your head against a brick wall? And, yeah, I think
absolutely
that's
not. Absolutely not.
But I think that also there's a...
No, I don't. Vera, no, you know? I don't feel like I'm battering my head against a brick wall. I think I'm trying to solve and figure out problems, and instead of ignoring problems that have to do with, I mean, these are serious problems, and I think it's important for every one of us to feel the pain that we are collectively causing on the world. And to ignore that pain, is to create a lot of damage. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to express it.
You're allowing the wall to get thicker by ignoring it. Is what you're saying.
But no, I don't feel like I'm battering my head against a brick wall. I don't feel that at all.
You're daily chipping away at that wall. Other people are. You have to continue to chip away at that wall, or it will continue to get thicker and thicker and never go away.
And I feel like I'm helping when I try and figure this out. When I sort it, I feel like, you know, that maybe we can figure out a way to get awareness, and maybe by talking about it and the few people that listen, maybe they'll spread that and say, "Hey, look at these videos." And maybe eventually somebody, and this has happened. I've seen it happen. I've gotten letters from people that work for the government. I've gotten letters to people work for people that work for NPR and stuff. And they get that. And somehow bits of this kind of stuff does get through because people like us are talking about it. So absolutely not. Am I batting my head against the wall? No, that just causes damage to myself. This is nothing like that experience. Not for me.
You've converted me in 2 years, Madge. I sat around and I had absolutely no opinion about anything political. I mean, in a matter of 2 years listening to you, I've now worked for voter registration.
I'll tell you something completely else. Changed. And I tell you something else. And I have a mission, and I am telling you right now, in November of 2008, Anti-Vera is going to vote. She doesn't know it now. She will vehemently disagree with me, but I'm telling you right now, she is going to vote in November. I don't know who she's going to vote for. I don't care, but she's going to vote.
In October, she'll also have her first solid stool.
And abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, Mark, what are you writing?
Mark, can you call in?
Can you not add four? If you can't add four, I'll hang up if Mark would call in.
Or I can go.
Let me see if I can get. Let me see if I can add a fourth, or maybe Antivera, you were missing the beginning of the show, but I said that I want to have your conscience on the show sometime. Not today, but I know that it is kind of retarded and have to prepare. But I think my issues with you have nothing to do with you. I think and everything to do with your conscience. So I hope that I can have your conscience on this program very soon. Are we going to be able to do that, Vera? Thank you.
Vera agrees.
We'll schedule that because that's a bit of an undertaking because her conscience is retarded and we have to make sure that he has his Depends and that he's got his lollipop, Vera's conscience. Uh-oh, I think the Skype might crash. If it does, I'll call y'all back. It's getting weird on me. Where the fuck is the list? Hello? Are you still there? Okay, well, it's thinking of crashing, but it hasn't crashed yet. You have a cold, Vera? I have a cleft palate again today. Did you get a cold over there in the Adirondacks, wherever the Christ you were, with your RV? With your big fold-out RV? I didn't catch that till after I listened to the show again at the gym, because I like to check it to make sure it's not... Even though it did have a huge gap of dead air, but actually I'd already posted when I went to like switch mics. But I realized that it's one of those RVs that like blows up, isn't it? It has those side tents that look like Andy Melton going to fill up the toilet water. Right? It's one of those, right?
God.
That's so awesome. I need a picture of you waving.
A mobile estate. It's a mobile estate, not an RV.
Who?
Jesus Christ.
Skype is fucked. It's just...
Maybe you should borrow the RV and we can do yeast on the road.
Dawn and Drew have an RV. I'd probably be more likely to get theirs. At least they're closer. But they rent it out. They're like... They don't do nothing that doesn't earn them money. They're smart people.
Vera says she has photos. If you go to her live videos page at antiverespeaks.podshow.com, Adam Curry.
Oh, that's easy to remember. I'll go right there after this show. I didn't know you have another web page. Oh my God, this is getting too. Put it on the comments of the show. I can't. This is too complicated. Okay, Mark, I got my thing unfroze. I'm going to try to drag him in. There we go. I think I just couldn't drag the other person in because it was a cell phone. That's letting me put Mark in.
One day we're going to have the entire audience on Skype simultaneously.
Hello.
Hi, Mark.
Hello.
So what are your thoughts? Hello, you were typing all this shit, and I couldn't even read it. It disappeared so quickly.
It's because I'm at work, and I'm sitting at a desk, and I think I need more.
Here. Can you talk louder even though you're at work?
Oh, yeah. Work is gone. I have a place to myself.
Oh, okay. Well, please speak up a bit.
Okay, I can turn up the volume. What were we getting on about?
You typed a bunch of shit, and I want to know what you were talking about, because I didn't read it. Something about Friends, New Jersey, critical thinking. Right. What is that?
You were talking about how you think, in your own way, you're making a difference, or you're trying to make a difference by doing this. And someone, or you said you'd seen some evidence that it works. I was just saying, a lot of my friends from home.
Hang on, Mark. I'm getting Skypey. Brian, I'm going to have to drop you.
Okay.
Sorry. But it's nice talking to you. Thank you for being on the program.
You too. Thank you.
Okay, Mark. What?
Okay, am I?
Yeah, you're still a little fucked. Oh well.
Hey, you want me to hang up?
I don't think it's the problem, because it would have gotten better when I hung up on Brian.
Hold on, I'm stopping the downloading of the wire.
That's it.
Yes. Well, the BitTorrent could.
That is it. Yeah.
My BitTorrent. Okay, it's off now.
And I had to reduce my upload download speed too because of my budget. So no, it actually just reduced the download speed. It's not supposed to reduce the upload speed.
But anyway, so I do see a difference when it comes to doing like podcasts in this example, and people's thinking, people who never thought about issues before. Like my friends back in New Jersey, they're not political at all. I don't think they vote, or at least many of them didn't used to vote. But I do see a difference when I go back and talk to them about stuff, the way they talk about the world, the way they talk about issues. They don't agree with me, but they're much more critical. They don't trust anybody the way I used to see a lot of people trusting the government, trust the whatever party is your party. You just trust whatever they say.
Yeah.
They don't seem to trust anyone anymore, which I think is a good sign in terms of when you talk about politics, you should always be critical. So I think it can have a positive effect. I don't want people to just agree with me. I just want to see them thinking.
Right.
I was even able...
I want them to agree with me, but I'll settle for just thinking.
Well, Mark, is that translating, though? What is it translating into?
These are beautiful pictures, Vera. Is this where you were the other day? These are gorgeous.
Technically, it translates into a more critical citizen, and hopefully that means a more critical citizen will be one that isn't so easily duped.
Yeah, I agree.
Change is basically what we're talking about.
Carino says, I think new media and Madge have made it easier to question the norm, and that is goodness. I think he meant to say good, but he wanted to be hip.
Sorry, I'm brain farting. But Carino was another person who changed his political assuasions, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. So did Oblivion. There's a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, Oblivion. Yeah, I'm always surprised. Yeah. Right. He makes a lot more sense than he used to.
I got to stop looking.
Of course, Carino hasn't sent his $500 payment in. Neither has Oblivion.
So he still hasn't been absolved.
Well, I don't know if Oblivion owes me $500 or $1,000. No, he doesn't get absolution. He's going straight to hell. I hope you don't get in a car crash today or you're doomed.
Lesbian hell.
Mm-hmm. But if you go to
After this weekend, Andy Melton can, bless him or whatever you do after church. He'll have the gift. The touch.
Douse him with holy water. So, Manchi, I listened to a bit of bareback speech the other day, and I admit it's pretty good. It's a pretty inspiring kind of first step, response to all this mess. And actually, he mentioned in particular working class white struggle, which I thought was good.
Yeah. I think he was really showing that he's trying hard to empathize with all the different positions.
I like how he didn't try and tap dance around all the sort of things that they're doing with different campaigns. So, like, a Hillary supporter will accuse me of being whatever they accuse him of, and someone else will accuse John McCain of being too this. And he went over all the stereotypes that are going around, all the sort of tools being used against different candidates. I thought that was pretty cool that he acknowledges like how routine it's all become.
So, Mark, do you think that there's enough substance or possibility for substance behind that if he was to get in office?
In a rational country, remotely rational country, yeah, there's enough.
And Zillafag, you're right. Zillafag writes, yeah, but he's still fucked the fags and shit. Yeah. but they all aren't. We can't. This isn't a gay election. This election has no place for gays, and I am really upset about that. But it doesn't. And to bring the to say one candidate is better for gays or for or another is, it just doesn't make sense to me. I mean, you can argue which one's worse for gays, you know, and that's what apparently the argument is. But for Hillary Clinton to say, I'll be the first president to march in a gay parade, meanwhile, she's never explained why she was in favor of her husband's family act. And, why, you know, she's never reversed herself on those positions specifically. You know, give me a break. That's patronizing. That's patronizing as hell. When I saw that on the front page of the gay paper here, Hillary will be the first person to march in a gay parade. Wow. Thanks. Will you throw a baton in? That would really help me. A baton twirling.
Sorry. She'll pay for the beads.
Extremely patronizing.
Yeah, so the other day
we're fucked. As gay people, we're fucked again. Absolutely. But that sucks. I don't know what to tell you. It makes me want to not vote too sometimes, but I'm going to vote because it's too important. That's all I can really say on that issue. I find it very upsetting, very upsetting. And who knows? I may change my mind.
I don't know. Do you think I'm starting to worry? I hear more and more on local radio about how strong McCain support is here in my state.
Bullshit. His bony ass and his cancer prolapsed face. Fuck him.
No, I hear a lot of.
He is an idiot. I'm telling you, all the Democrats have to do is play that tape over and over again. Bomb, 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 bomb.
There's a lot that they could do. Do you think they're going to do it? I mean, there's a lot that Hillary and Obama could get up on stage in front of national cameras and say all kinds of things. Look, but do you think they're actually going to do it?
I think Obama will beat him. I don't think Hillary can beat him. Let's just say, no, I shouldn't say that. Hillary could beat him. But Obama, I'm much more sure that he could beat him. Because Obama can kind of cut through shit and just tell things the way it is. He doesn't always, but he can just say, look, and that's what he did in that speech, look, this person, he's a human being, he has many facets, yes, he married me, yes, he does things that I don't agree with, you blah, 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 blah. He can say things that are unusual positions to take, that aren't the positions that only your advisors take, tell you to take, which is what Hillary seems to be doing. So I think with that kind of a mindset, Obama can just plow through McCain's senility and bullshit. Hillary, no, she'll do what her advisors tell her to do, and she could easily get fucked. Do a, you know, like John Kerry, easily. So I think it depends. I think he's definitely beatable, though. He's fucking senile. He's already exhibiting signs of senility with that guffaw about where he said there's that basically Al Qaeda's running Iran, and then Lieberman's whispering in his ear, "No, you're wrong."
Like, yeah, but again, you're assuming that was a genuine gaffe and that wasn't part of a larger plan to attack Iran. That wasn't part of a propaganda onslaught by, like, the Bush administration and McCain to actually, you know, have an excuse to go in and attack Iran. I don't know. I don't trust a lot of these.
It's a gaffe. But I have no idea. I mean, I think the guy is so fucking senile, I doubt if he can even read. I think it makes Reagan look like Mensa.
Yeah.
Good. Do you know he can't lift his arms higher than this because of his of the torture he got?
Yeah, but I don't think it matters about. I think it matters as to who supports him and who he's surrounded with as far as policy and so forth. He'll do whatever they tell him, and he's eager to show off his the supposed masculinity and strength that he has.
I don't want a post-traumatic stress survivor. I don't want somebody who's in a POW camp for 3 years to run this country. And you can call me a bigot or anti-troops or whatever, but I'm sorry, I don't.
The guys at America Blog are always talking about his temper. They're trying to make a big deal out of his temper. I don't know. I mean,
I don't care about his fucking temper.
Sure, lots of presidents had tempers we never knew about. So.
Yeah. But you know what I was thinking the other day? Like, there's all these ribbons, support the troops. I want to make a ribbon that's like a different shape, like a circle or something, or a letter eight, a figure eight that says support our victims.
A V?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a V.
For Vag.
Oh, God, leave me the fuck alone. This fucking opera queen is going in fucking insane because he's old.
Yeah. By the way, Chris, you were asking me if I think that's enough. But I think the country always does the sort of complete opposite of what is rational. So
jockstraps are out, Zilla. Come on, jockstraps.
The one good thing I saw in respect to what a Democratic president could get done is that Hastert's old seat in Illinois was recently taken by a Democrat in a special election.
So that seems to be somewhat encouraging that there could be a Democratic hold on the House, although, you know, they don't seem to do anything, or they seem to be just as compromised and complicit. So,
you know what? Watch C-SPAN, though. It's not quite that.
It's not? What do you mean? Like, there's, like, protests and so forth?
No, they do stuff. They try. I mean, it's just not as black and white as it would appear in a lot of the, like, left-wing blogs. I mean, I'm just saying, watch it and make your own opinion. It's because to see the stuff that they actually do and to watch the deliberations is very different. And it's worth watching, I think.
I've been watching the Open Congress and looking at the votes as they come in.
Yeah.
They do good stuff on small bills that don't get any press.
Right.
You know, like there was this issue of toy safety and child safety and food and I think toys or objects.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Democrats united and voted for it and got it passed, even though a lot of Republicans voted against it because it's bad for business.
Yeah, I mean, in general, Democrats are for issues that are much more helpful to end users, people, you know, workers and middle class people. A lot of them, like I was talking with somebody the other day, like the whole reason you have this HIPAA portability thing is because of Clinton. You know, as much as the shitty stuff he did for gays, but he did make it possible so that you can't get. I mean, before when I started working in like in 91 at this one job, I had my insurance revoked retroactively because I didn't inform them that I had a pre-existing condition. And at that time, pre-existing conditions, if you switched employers, your pre-existing conditions weren't covered. I mean, that's really fucked. And even now that it sucks ass because you have to pay for COBRA or get another job within 18 months and COBRA is like $400, at least there's a way for you to switch jobs and still have your pre-existing conditions covered. I mean, that was a huge help. And they do things like that. It's not enough. Granted, it's not enough because they compromise so fucking much to big business. But it's something, and it does, for me, discern a difference between Republicans and Democrats. And then, of course, the real difference is the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so they're passing these smaller bills or less glamorous bills. So, yeah. And we just got done talking about how Mark, you, and Madge have received comments from actual people that your media has had an effect on as far as influencing their minds or just making them think and change a little bit. So how do we go beyond this? Because, Mark, you're addressing this, I think, on your Citizen Reporter site about how you can be more effective in getting your messages out and so forth. And, Madge, we're trying this live streaming and trying to go further. So how do we overcome, like, how do we get this type of media more recognized? What do we do? Where do we go from
Well,
here?
I don't know, but I think really people like me and us, we need to create our own. We need to create our own media companies. I don't know. I can't do it. I don't have the fucking money. I don't have the wherewithal. I don't have the entrepreneurial spirit. But I'll be damned if I'm going to watch any more of these fucking Robert Scobles or Adam Curry's do it and fucking destroy what could have been a fucking great thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm also, for the same reasons you just spoke about, I'm having trouble as well all of a sudden because I took up this job. But I think that
what job?
We got it. Huh?
What job can you say? Is this the web job?
This is the sustainable investment job that because of Max Kaiser, I know these people.
Right.
Although they now know me much better than they know Max. They're always asking me about him.
Did you see that? I know I'm jumping around, but did you see that story about it? There was a story about how in Amsterdam they won't change dollars anymore at the currency exchange, like at the normal banks. They won't, like at those banks where they, you know, that you see everywhere for the tourists, where they charge ridiculous commissions and exchange dollars. They won't take dollars anymore. You have to go to if you don't have a bank machine, you're screwed, or you have to go to Central Station. It said none of those places will take dollars anymore because the rate changes so quickly. It's hyperinflation already, I think.
By the way, in the chat room, Straight Chris says, I want to see interest from Japan, Korea, and India. Straight Chris, do you mean audience? Anyway, while he answers that. Where was I? So how to take it like further? I feel like I listen a lot to people if I know that like they write to me emails or they leave comments. And if they mention that they don't know anything about blogs or podcasts and they're just normally like television watchers, radio listeners, those are the people I ask questions to because I think those are the people we need to find. I mean, the internet users are the internet users. We've kind of got the ones we're going to get. Maybe that expands a little, maybe not. I'm curious about the people who don't really understand the terminology but would understand it if they heard it. And so I've gotten a little bit worried about, for better or for worse, what regular people, you know, non-tech people, how they would receive like what I do or how they would see my site. And I had like a guy that works in public radio, just like a grunt, nice guy. He writes me an email and he goes, I went to your site and his initial reaction was, I couldn't understand what to do next. And right. I got worried. I started asking him questions like, all right, tell me what you looked at first, what confused you the most. And I didn't change too much, but I need to really think about this because, I mean, it's hard enough to get somebody to come to your site. That's one problem that I still haven't addressed. But
I don't tell people to go to my site. I tell them to go to, they're like, do you have a card? I'm like, you don't want to go to my site. Go to democracynow.org. I watch that. Because if they see this, it's not gonna make them buy in. Democracy Now, I think that has a lot better chance.
And so Democracy Now adopts a lot of mainstream terminology, and right. I hate doing that, but it almost feels like we have to do a little of it. Like when an exclusive. Oh, Democracy Now always says it's a Democracy Now exclusive. That's a mainstream media term. It's supposed to be for, you know, look, we did it first, therefore you should choose us. Which is not at all an alternative media value. It's not.
I guess
about
to me that's the. I don't have. I don't. That doesn't bother me at all. That's the least.
Exactly.
I don't bother me.
Problem.
Bother
it's, me. I think that what Democracy Now! Should do, and I don't think they're doing it yet. They've drastically improved their website, but they should release just that like 5-minute initial headline segment as its own separate video every day, in addition to the full show. And they should also start sending out just like the section, like the interviews, so, you know, break it up so that the whole show is available and the shorter segments.
I'm sure they're willing to do it if they, I mean, it takes manpower.
Right. They don't have the resources.
No, yeah. They could. I mean, you could volunteer to do it if you wanted to or something. Well, no, you're doing stuff for me, so don't. But, but you know, that's how those transcripts are done. Those transcripts are done by volunteers in different parts of the world.
Yeah.
And they are happy to accept money and suggestions all the time, so.
Yeah. I've made friends with
all those things are possible. They may not have thought about it. Same thing with the languages, Chris.
Well, one thing that I found interesting, I'm teaching basically poor Hispanic kids in Detroit, and they have computers in the back of the classroom with internet access. And most of the new online media stuff is largely targeted to very, very well-to-do urban sort of young people. Okay, so it's targeted at a specific income level, but so everything gets focused on Google and video sharing and da 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 da. The children that in the classes I teach, they don't have any money, but they still use the internet just as much. And it's interesting. I see a lot of them using Yahoo services, which gets basically no talk online as far as having any value or having any use.
What Yahoo services? I don't know about this.
I mean, they're using it as email, using it as their page to find videos, and so on and so forth.
And to put Chinese people in prison.
Right, right. I'm just using it as an example there are people there. There's a market. There's a potential for it to reach more people than you would imagine. But
yeah.
So most of the stuff online is directed towards the wealthy.
People that are really good at doing this, that are better on this subject to have this discussion with, like Jay and Ryan. They do a lot of outreach, not so much as they used to, but like Jan McLaughlin has a lot of good ideas on the subject. I'm not sure how much she puts into play because I know she also works. But she's the one that had this great idea about – she had this wonderful idea that basically sort of like – the antithesis, sort of like the grassroots media version of one of these CNN media vans. You know how like there's a big event like a Katrina and this huge Winnebago pulls in, sorry Vera, and all these camera people come out and Anderson Cooper comes out and does his hair and clips off his global warming skin tumors and gets all ready to go. And then they shoot their video and they leave. Well, Jan's idea was to have, and I don't know if it was just her idea, but to have like a van that's basically full of maybe a dozen computers and a bunch of video cameras, and you just go out and get local people to shoot video and ask people questions and interview local people and create their own media. And meanwhile, you're showing them how to make their own video. And then when you leave town with your big video van, you've uplinked all their videos through some satellite connection you have to the internet, and you've taught them you've empowered them so they can keep doing it when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's an amazing vision for what this citizen media or whatever you call it could be.
I think it was Carino. Somebody said, what are examples of stuff online being directed to the wealthy? Maybe I misspoke. Maybe not exactly specifically the wealthy, but people of a certain income level. The students that I teach, by and large, the majority of them don't have a computer at home, but they are still aware of it through the limited access at school. Some of them have cell phones. Many of them don't. I've only seen maybe one or two iPods, whereas if you went down the road to Grosse Pointe, which is a very upper middle class and wealthy area, most of the students, I'd say going down into the elementary levels, would have iPods and cell phones and so forth. So I see a lot of stuff as far as the new media push, I would say Pod Show, I'd say Pod Tech, a lot of these things that get a lot of high profile, they're largely directed at people of a certain income level, a certain mindset, and a certain, I don't like the word lifestyle because I think it's stupid, but you get what I'm saying? I think there's a large,
I think
they're just ignoring.
Too much credit if you think they have a target market.
Well, I mean, a lot of media does that. If you go to Washington Post online, I'm not saying that kids are going to read Washington Post, but they could, but you'll see ads for like the F-22 Raptor, you know, in case you want to buy one. I mean, there's a lot of media on this.
Is that like a military airplane?
Yeah, it's the most modern.
It's like when I was watching CNN and they did that story about that microwave machine that zaps you with pain. And then right afterwards, they had a commercial for the Air Force, who's the one that was on the show trying to push the thing.
Yeah. CNN International runs this one program almost more often than the news, which is that annoying guy. For anyone who's watched CNN International knows Johnny or whatever Quest, his last name is made up that name. And all he does is go doing luxury travel, you know, traveling first class, virgin, upper class. I'm going to go visit the world's first 6-star hotel. Join me. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, who is this for? But obviously, it's for that class.
While I fire my employees and they can't get health insurance now,
I've found an even higher upper class to fly on.
I've got $80 million worth of ass. I'm sitting on $80 million worth of asshole.
I know it might.
Not high. When someone's complaining at 6 star.
I know it also might sound a bit strange to mention this online, but what I've found is that. A lot of the talk online is about, well, we're gonna kill off the newspaper. The newspaper's going to be dead. It's all moving online. And, oh, who wants this newspaper in your hands? And yet, I think ultimately now I think that's a terrible, tremendous mistake because the physical form of the newspaper, let's look past the fact who's controlling it, who's printing it. Just the physical aspect of it makes it tremendously more important and more accessible than any of this stuff online. And maybe if we could just find a way, low income or low budget, to produce and distribute something like that. That seems to me a lot more immediate than anything that I've done online. And it's frustrating to realize that because it was learned, you know, over 100 years ago. But there it is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And even worse is not just the change of the form, but the fact that the amount of money that they're going to invest in online is much less than what they used to invent in newspapers. Therefore, that's what they're not going to invest in real journalism. And so people won't be able to take the time. I'm already feeling it, and I don't work for a company. Now that I'm doing, you know, real work with a real job, I don't have time to do all my investigation the way I prefer to do. I mean, it's going to be a very big problem. As much as I love the online world, and I think it's cool that we're free and we're liberated, I'm worried that quality journalists are going extinct. And I've been talking with Alan Nairn. Somebody mentioned Alan Nairn. And I can see it in the conversations with him. He does not know from technology. You know, Blogspot. Alan Nairn, he's the Indonesia expert that's on Democracy Now! A lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an old school journalist. I mean, and there's a lot of these guys.
Sharifa Kadoosh.
Yeah. They don't know that much about technology, but they know journalism, and they're just trying to get down with a little bit of technology so they can reach this audience as well and so that they don't have to be censored if they ever run into that.
I don't know. I just don't really care about the whole debate between newspaper versus online. I do care about the date when they start talking about who's a real journalist, though.
I'm saying, well, I'm talking about journalism versus just writing random shit. And I don't care if you're a blogger. You can still be a blogger that does investigation, or you could be a blogger that doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
And the problem is that one is replacing the other, and that all these channels want free labor. It's like current.com, current TV, Al Gore's thing. You know, they contacted me. I've complained about this before. And no. They're just like, they send me an email like, you could be one of our first reporters on current TV. It was an email from a producer. Nice girl. I could tell it was an individualized email. She mentioned my show. She mentioned a few episodes.
Are they the ones that sent you that webcam?
Yeah, exactly. I wrote back and I said, all right, well, how's it going to work? Because I have this much time I can dedicate to you guys, and I'm very interested. I heard Al Gore's channel is going to be different. And they're like, all right, well, here's how you submit your videos, and here's your login, and, you know, we'd ask that you do it once a week. Well, and I said, all right, well, how does it work for, how do you support me? And they're like, oh, it's just all volunteer for now. Maybe down the road we can...
Yeah, they all say that. They all say that. That's what Louis Vlamour said about his crappy seismic service that's so about Hat Day. But, you know, I know what I want to say. Welcome to the arts, because this is the way artists have been living for, you know, hundreds of years, where we're expected to work for free. And now that's extended to journalism. You know, what you're experiencing with current TV is the same thing I've been going through ever since I started doing the arts stuff. Yeah, working for free. I worked for free until I worked for Pod Show. I worked for free, and I worked as much as I worked my full-time job for several years. It's like at least 6 years, doing a full-time job for free, because that's what artists are expected to do. And then if you get really, really super successful, then maybe you'll start getting paid. And the reason you do it for free is because you love doing it, and they take advantage of it.
And our Web 2.0 is like a renaissance for exploiting free work. It's like, here's a red herring so that now it's trendy to do free work.
It's a renaissance for the traditional douchebag as opposed to the more portable, you know, fleet enema.
With the tube and bag.
Tube and bag. There must be a Listwood quote about the tube and the bag.
Next in line, please.
Please don't rub it.
Can I tell you a story? I have to tell this because this is just so funny. I have to read an email I got from a film. This guy teaches film at Columbia College.
Go ahead.
He makes documentaries. He's pretty good. I've seen some of his work. He was, you know, featured in a film in the Gay Lesbian Film Festival. Blah blah blah. Credentials. Okay, so I gotta find this thing. Okay, so he wrote, "Hey Madge, I checked out Insane Films. Man, that's a lot of material. Overwhelming. I loved the latest feature about Corner Bakery Lady and Madge, well, ...
Okay.
And then the rest is just other stuff that we had talked about that have nothing to do with it. So I'm ... But he loved Next in Line, Please. See, that's my frustration. This is what I do.
Right.
I do this. Yeah. You know, Next in Line, Please. I sit at Corner Bakery after I meet with a lawyer. I sit there for 10 minutes talking to Cheryl being a complete moron. That's what the film people like. That's what they like. Fuck me.
I know. It's insane. You know,
hello.
$2.99.
I give up. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe I should go to the Long John Silver next. Well, that's why I spent yesterday with my camera phone snapping pictures of old people.
Whoa.
Go to my Yeast Radio Flickr. You'll see them. I was just stalking an old lady wearing a blue coat because she looked like goddamn Cheryl, and I couldn't get a close enough picture. Seriously, go look at it. Flickr.com/yeastradio or some bullshit.
In the chat, Brian Royal Oak asks, Madge, is it because people look at the internet as a source of entertainment? No, Brian Royal Oak, I say, and Madge can answer next, I say it's because people want to avoid the truth and their responsibility or their involvement, and so
the internet
makes it easier to just hear and read what you want that makes you feel comfortable.
Is what because, I don't understand the question, is what because people look at the internet as a source of entertainment? Is what?
The lack of interest in a lot of media we would consider substantial. Maybe what we've been talking about, like the Winter Soldier event. Although I don't think that's the reason the mainstream media avoided it. I think
it's good old-fashioned denial.
Well, there we go. He wrote him liking Next in Line versus Your News.
Oh. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Mark, did you talk about have anything to say about the Winter Soldier conference? Anything about that?
It's pretty impressive. I've been listening to it, and I guess they've replayed or played more excerpts in the last, like, it seems like the last three Democracy Nows. I've been listening to it. It's amazing. I mean, it should be in schools. It should be.
Yeah.
They should be learning this. They should be listening to this in school.
I hope they are. I mean,
at 12.
I know it's naive to think so, but when I was a kid, we had to watch concentration camp videos.
Camps.
Yeah, we had to watch Night and Fog. Have you guys seen that?
No.
Did you have to watch that? You went to school in America, Mark?
Yeah, we used to have to watch Roots, which was great, actually.
Roots is great. Did you watch Night and Fog, though? Did you watch the concentration camp?
No.
Maybe we watched a little bit of it, but we saw that. I mean, I've saw that dozens of times in grade school. It was like every year, and it wasn't just religious school. And I mean, and I lived in a place where there was like two Jews. So that must have changed. At some point, it's no longer. I mean, there's a big controversy in France because the douchebag president, whatever he is, he wanted to basically for everybody, all the students, to adopt a concentration camp, camp victim, somebody who was killed as a child, sort of like a symbolic gesture.
In the chat room, Do You Think says that as a teacher, we're not allowed to discuss politics at all. Now, that's very interesting. I've taught at schools far out in the suburbs, and I went to school in the suburbs, and now I'm teaching at schools deep downtown in the city. And there's a very stark difference because in the suburbs, virtually no talk about any kind of war, any kind of oppressive government action, anything like that. That's completely avoided. Yet in sixth and seventh graders that I'm teaching right now, they regularly have discussions in whole classes about the effects of wars on, like, in this case, a lot of Latin American countries, a lot of what it does to the immigrants. They're writing anti-war songs. It's very, very illuminating, very, very strange. They're getting completely different educations, and they're, you know, a 15-minute drive from one another, two schools. Very strange.
Well, Brian, if what you're saying, Brian's saying the BBC coverage with the Winter Soldier clips have been viewed by 1,000 people. I imagine the Democracy Now! Audience is much, much bigger than that. And I'm sure I'll get at least 20,000 people seeing the couple of clips that I did on my news brief.
Clips.
So at least I think really other podcasters, you know, I hope people like Rocket Boom, I hope people like, what's that, Foo, Epic Foo, and those guys that have some decent popularity, and Boing Boing, I hope they link to this stuff. I mean, I'm sure people like Daily Kos will, right?
I don't know. You know, sometimes I wonder about those, like, the so-called left bloggers that don't seem to notice Democracy Now.
Well, like, Daily Kos has a whole page with like, all those Adam Curtis videos, but it's not really publicized. That's great.
I wanted to mention, I know I mention this show a lot, but everything we've just been talking about with the newspapers, The Wire Season 5 is all about what's happened to the media. You see the Baltimore Sun, and it follows journalists.
Yeah, but you told me to start with Season 1.
Of course you should, but if
you've been watching... Well, it's going to take me fucking forever to get to 5. This is not an easy series. It's not like Battlestar Galactica. You can't just sail through it while you're doing other stuff.
Let me ask you this. Do I have to do like we did when you first met me? Should I mail it to you? Will it make a bigger difference? Or
I have the files on my computer. I have downloaded all of Season 1. It's just I find it a lot harder to sit down and watch it than a lot of other programs because it requires my concentration.
Mark, I'm still on Season 3 of Golden Girls. So I don't know what I'm going to wear.
You take golden showers?
It's Del Getty.
Is she still sleeping with everyone in that season?
I had a big discussion in my Weight Watchers Anonymous class about Bea Arthur.
About what she must feel like?
The fact that Bea Arthur can't keep you thin.
And?
He can't keep you
B. Arthur, it doesn't matter how many Golden Girls episodes you watch. B. Arthur will not keep you thin.
Is that a common tactic a lot of people in the group had been using?
It starts from this. It started because there was a discussion because it used to be very clicky in my Weight Watchers Anonymous class when I went there like 9 years ago in the beginning. And I made this – I was talking to somebody. I said, you know, I was really disturbed when I first came in because it was very clicky, and none of these cliques would have me. And there was this one clique where they would all get together, go to dinner, and nobody would talk to me. Nobody would ever invite me. Well, one day I finally got invited to this clique, and they went to Joy's, this noodle place. They all sat in this huge table, and they basically just quoted different things from the Golden Girls. So I replied, I was actually with the opera queen that I was telling this to, and the opera queen said, B. Arthur will not keep you sober from food.
Wow.
You know?
Did that everyone just go silent when they heard that?
Neither will Betty White, but Rue McClanahan could. Oh. She was a lush.
Ryan Royal Oak, Madge, have you ever thought of a gay Chicago podcaster coalition? That sounds familiar. You could feed each other news. Oh, I thought you could just feed each other. You could feed each other news that must get out there.
You're hilarious.
I think most people are ignorant.
I must have lost the conversation because I don't see that. Oh, I do see it. Okay.
I think a lot of your current listeners have no idea, like, the first year and a half of the show or 2 years of the show, I would imagine.
But, Brian, there's no other Chicago. I mean, I have friends that are a lot of, not a lot, but have some friends like PNS that do wonderful podcasts in Chicago, but they don't give a flying fuck about what's going on in the world. They certainly won't talk about it. Does Daily Purge? I don't listen to them. Does Daily Purge talk about real things? I don't know. I mean, I'm friends with them, but I honestly don't listen because I can't. No. So who the fuck am I going to have this coalition with? My vagina? Shit.
A vaginal coalition.
And why does it matter if they're in Chicago anyway? But you're right about Q-Potter, maybe. But I think that's already happening. I mean, most of the people that give a shit are already listening, like AJ, like Zilla, like these other people. Who else?
Those other people.
You know, a lot of people from Q-Potter listen to this show, and we all share issues already, so I don't see the need for it.
Sorry, I'm just laughing.
Somebody's just
chat.
Begging to get banned from the chat room right now. Just begging. Just begging.
I think he has a learning disability.
Who's going to take the fall for this angle of conversation?
This show can survive on 9 viewers. So everybody knows that.
Yeah. Was it Vera that was talking about in her show how, like, when you're in entertainment, you have to make sure that the audience knows that you don't need them? Was that you,
yeah,
Vera?
That's what she said, yeah.
Vera, that's not true. I mean, I know I act like that's my philosophy, but Vera, it don't work that way. Trust me. I know. Based on podcasting, okay? Maybe in your line of work, maybe in real showbiz. Okay, I believe it works out there in that kind of showbiz. In podcasting, in this kind of scum of the earth, claw, you know? Claw versus cunt. It don't work that way. Whoever kisses the most ass is the one that seems to... Well, they get the most audience because they also have no substance whatsoever, so it's not like I give a shit.
Robert Scoble's nipple has its own show on CNBC right now.
You're making me want to puke.
By the way, I'm here at my job, and my boss came out of the office the other day and said, I saw this article on fastcompany.com, and I turned around and I said, where? He's like, fastcompany.com? And I was like, why did you consult that? And he's like, I don't know, it just came up as a hit on some topic. And I was like, you know, that's Robert Scoble. And he goes, who? And I was like, nobody.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I love when I tell people, like, you know, they ask me about my website, and I tell them, yeah, I've been doing these videos. This is what I do. Oh, are you on YouTube?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of a generic. That's a generic, like, that's like Kleenex or Coke, you know, at this point. You know, I don't even know.
And then they'll send me a link of some pixelated, you know, Carol Channing, you know, playing with her fucking cunt.
Videos of RVs and...
Do you know what the percentage of YouTube videos that I actually watch that people send me? It used to be 0%. Now it's about 0.00001. Basically, the only ones they'll send me are the ones that Cheryl or maybe a few other people like you will send me. And I, even when Cheryl sends me, I protest. And she has to force me, like the fat man... There was a diarrhea zebra lady that was really good. Did you see that one, Chris? On Cheryl?
No, the diarrhea zebra lady?
It
no,
wasn't
I did not
diarrhea.
See
it was this fat lady. But, I mean, she had that enormous cellulite fat that was just huge. Like, just, she looked like a giant bell, but she was wearing, like, a mini skirt that was stripes with black and white striped. She looked like an enormous... You have to subscribe to Cheryl Prolapse's YouTube favorites. I mean, I was in a foul mood. I'm like, Cheryl, I am not watching your video. And then I'm like, oh, my God, this is the best thing in the whole wide world. Maybe I could show it if I I suppose I could show it since it's just video while I do while we still talk. I think I can manage.
You think that Iraq Veterans Against the War, is that being directed in any kind of like political ends? I know in 2004 there were one or two.
They've been around for years. It's just nobody pays attention to them. They were in, they were at Camp Casey when I was there. Some of them were even the same people, like that guy, the Latino guy. He was there.
There were a couple of people running, I remember, that, like, I think Tammy Duckworth in Illinois.
Right.
And Hackett, was it?
And there's the one from Minnesota that was part of the FBI or something.
I wonder if there could be large enough numbers to, if not run, but get them as, like, a voting block, or if that's even be... that someone at some level of that organization must be working on it, I would imagine, or I don't know. You'd think that... Maybe there'd be someone in there, one of the people high up in that organization. I'm sure they put out press releases. I wonder if they've actually lobbied any of the existing media and if they'd talk about their reactions dealing with that media.
Where do I find my favorites? Oh, here. It's always showing movies being watched right now. Chris Crocker. You know what? I don't need to see that. These people just torture me. They actually physically cause me pain. Hold on. I'm going to do this. Let me know when you can see the screen. I hope we don't go black. Can you see the screen?
Oh, my God. There it is.
Oh, goody. Now let me blow it up.
Zebra diarrhea.
Let me blow it up. Oh, Christ. Stick. Hold on.
Just waiting for Magic to go black.
You can put Impeach Bush on that.
Can you see
it? You can put the every name.
Look at that thing. Ooh. Wear it out, bitch. Hey! Ooh,
oh, God, look at those weird wrinkles, like a deflated hot air balloon.
Next in line.
Look at the double gunt. Oh, that thing rocks my planet Earth. Hey!
Christ.
Hey! Work that zebra skank dress.
And this is its own, like, genre now, basically. Of it's its own genre online of these.
Yeah, it's called the genre that is Cheryl Murkowski. That's the fucking genre.
It's at least the third or fourth character, fat person she sent.
How do I get out of here now?
Displaying themselves.
I can't get out of this fucking... Oh, here. Well, now I'm on a roll, so
the,
now we're going to
have to... In the chat, Torero says she needs a waving American flag in the background.
Here, this is Love Chunks.
I want to see a video where the one of those people is just laying down and...
This is a good one. I'm a nice dude. Listen to the soundtrack.
See these ice cubes. See these ice creams. Don't you go back to $1 million bowl. That's
pay him on the bone. Pay him on the bone.
God. Exterior like crusades. Interior like crusades. I can make this surprise you. This could be your first day.
Hey.
How you get it?
Hey, look at that double gun. Is that a camel toe or is that just a belly button? Hey.
This is what Andy Melton means by you can tuck in your shirt under your fat.
Is that what he meant?
Yeah, he tucks it.
Wow.
All the bacon trapped under there.
Okay, what? This is the last... Okay, this one. I'm sorry. This is everything I never wanted to be.
Cheryl did you wrong, right?
It's a dwarf. It's not a child.
Kane is definitely going to be president.
What did she say?
Soy una viciosa.
Amy Quine.
Soy la deliciosa.
Me encanta la droga.
Why'd you say Cantadora?
No.
Oh, my. I'm embarrassed, but that was great. Sorry, what were we saying about America being dumb?
I just heard McCain won the election. They canceled the whole process.
Well, do you know what she was saying in the Spanish, Mark? Do you have any idea?
I couldn't hear her.
Something about deliciosa pequeña.
Well, then she's small and delicious, obviously. I don't know. You're going to have to send me that. Oh, no, don't actually.
It's Cheryl's favorites. You just have to subscribe to Cheryl's favorites. Oh. Cheryl Prolapse.
I don't really look at that favorites thing in the YouTube.
Do it. Cheryl. It's Cheryl.
Cheryl favorites.
My senses.
I'm not going to show you the one where the guy stuffs this goddamn huge thing in his mouth. And we have to save some stuff for later. Like the fat gainer. Although, wait a sec, Scott. This will go too, because this is not gross. I mean, not in the traditional sense of gross. Let's go
this
back.
This one has actual value to it.
Right. I'm assuming the audience can...
Well, can you go through this? Can I talk?
No.
How?
This is the video that I'm going to spoof whenever I get a camera person handy.
My father married up your Cherokee.
She's on a horse. All right, I'm going to have to be on Andy Melton. Ew, what's that? Ew. Hold on. When did that happen? Are you still there, people?
Yeah, I had to put it on mute so I can listen to the half bleed.
Okay. There, I'm back.
Oh, good. Wow, that was traumatic. I got into an argument yesterday. It was a good argument. I think I'll tell you about it.
Okay.
Someone was talking about Israel. I know, people always argue. And how, it's a great place and it's good that everybody can be in the military. And I was saying,
oh, that's great.
Actually, I'd rather have a country that has no military. And she's like, how is that possible? And I said, it's called Costa Rica.
Really?
She said, yeah, well, they don't have anything anybody wants. And I was like, no, actually, they have a lot of things people want, including some of the rarest species of plants and herbs in the world. So a lot of pharmaceutical companies are trying to make deals to be there. But she was just like, well, most countries can't do that. They can't just dissolve their military. I mean, that would be a disaster. And I was like, are you sure? I mean, nobody's brave enough to try it.
Well, Costa Rica doesn't have a military? I didn't know that. You know, Mark, I wanted to tell you, you're welcome to meet me in any of these places I'm going to in May.
Run down your list.
I'm going to Peru, specifically to Lima, then to Machu Picchu, and then to, I'm not sure the order, but in Ecuador, Quito, and where my friend lives, Cuenca, and then to Medellin.
Huh.
Because we have family in Medellin, so I don't know. We'll probably go to Bogota also, but
wow,
we're going to fly out of Medellin. So
the problem now is that I took this job is that I always got to account for when I'm not here and take vacation. I don't know. I'll think about it, though, of course. I would love to go to all those places.
The first 2 weeks in May.
Oh, I can't leave then. Uh-huh. I'm going to Thailand.
Are you getting enema?
No enemas for me, but I have agreed to do all these Thai massages everybody says I should do for like one day.
Oh, the Thai massages. Those are the best. I mean, I've never been to Thailand, but I've had a Thai massage. It was the best massage I ever had in my goddamn fucking life. They just barely touch you and you're like, ooh. And it's not a sexual thing. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, they told me I have to wear clothes.
Aunt B. Arthur. Who is Aunt B. Arthur? Who is Aunt B. Arthur? I'm going to lose my mind. Me.
Well, she's very philosophical.
Well, it's not Aunt Vera Charles because she's still on Aunt B. Arthur. That's a great name, though. That is a great name.
So good
name.
That you start touching yourself over it.
Yeah, I mean, like, because it's so much because it's Andy Griffith, it's the Golden Girls, and it's Aunt Vera Charles all in one. It's fantastic.
Mm.
Aunt B. Arthur.
Anyway,
Avram,
no,
I have the perfect daughter for your husband.
A tailor?
Yeah. Tevye. Prolapse.
I meant the tailor.
All right. What else? I have to end, so what else? Any words of wisdom?
Oh my God.
Words of wisdom. I got nothing.
Don't make me go back to Pee Wee Dwarf Lady. All right.
What can I tell you then?
Let me find something to.
Oh, you know, the open source, Radio Open Source,
yeah.
Did two shows in a row about Cuba. Really, really good. He always does really good Cuba stuff. He has one guy who's an author who actually wrote the great book Chasing Che, where he follows the journeys of Che, but in the 90s. And in this case, he I forget the name of his book, but the author is Patrick Symes, and he's on open source two episodes ago or three. He's excellent. He talks about life in Cuba and what's happening and what's not really happening, all the rumors. And then they have another guy who's a Cuban guy living in Boston.
You know, I have a question about Cuba. Do you tell me if you know about this. Because I was talking to these same guys, the guy who's in Ecuador who also travels a lot. But he went to Cuba and he said that they have a different currency for tourists. And that it's like 25, like the peso, like it's more expensive.
There's a dollar and peso system.
Yeah, well, it's like they're tourist pesos, and he said they're about 25 more expensive times more expensive than the local pesos, and that it's actually more expensive to travel in Cuba than in a lot of other countries.
I forget how it works. So many of my friends go all the time, and they always try to tell me what to do. But you can either pay for things in dollars or pesos, but I'm not really sure which one you're supposed to do if you're from Holland.
Oh, maybe it's different for that.
Not very clear. You know, Castro just, Raul, just allowed for the first time, I guess, for regular consumers, DVD players, computers, some like more computers, I guess, and burners of all kinds, DVD burners. It's interesting. I had no idea that they weren't allowed.
What I read was it's appliances in general.
Yeah, that's right.
And this guy also said that, you know, when he wasn't like he hung out with a lot of, let's basically say prostitutes, and they weren't allowed to walk next to these local Cuban people because they're not supposed to talk to tourists or something. Anyway, I'm going to go because I want to play a song. So I'll see you later. Thanks for being on my pilgrim.
Pleasure.
Okay. I already just hung up. Sorry, Mark. Okay. This guy, here's my song and goodbye. This is a good song. I love this song. Love it. It's cheesy, but I love it. Bye, Vera.
Dearest, darlingest Momsy and Popsicle. My dear father. There's been some confusion over rooming here at Shiz. But of course I'll care for NASA. But of course I'll rise above it. For I know that's how you'd want me to respond. Yes. There's been some confusion, for you see, my roommate is unusually and exceedingly peculiar and altogether quite impossible to describe. Blonde. What is this feeling so sudden and new?
Felt the moment I laid eyes on you.
My pulse is rushing.
My head is reeling.
My face is flushing.
What is this feeling? Fervid as a flame. Does it have a name? Yes. Loathing. Unadulterated loathing. For your face.
Your voice.
Your clothing. Let's just say, I loathe it all. Every little trait, however small, makes my very flesh begin to crawl with simple utter loathing. There's the strange exhilaration.